The word terror is one that rightly arouses strong emotions and deep concerns. The primary concern, naturally, should be to take measures to alleviate the threat. It has been severe in the past, and it's likely that it will be even more so in the future. To proceed with this in some serious way, we should have established a few guidelines. Here are several simple ones. The first is that facts matter, even if we don't happen to like them. The second is that elementary moral principles matter, even if they have consequences that we would prefer not to face. And the third is that relative clarity matters. So it's pointless to seek a truly precise definition of terror, or for that matter, of any other concept outside of the hard sciences and mathematics, and often not even there. But we should seek enough clarity, at least, to be able to distinguish terror from two notions that lie uneasily at its borders, aggression at one end and legitimate resistance at the other. Terror finds its place somewhere between those two. Well, if we accept these guidelines, there are actually quite constructive ways to deal with the problem of terrorism, which are, again, quite severe. It's commonly claimed that critics of ongoing policies do not present solutions. If you check the record, I think you'll find something else. You'll find that there's an accurate translation of that charge, namely, they do present solutions, very constructive ones, but I don't like them. So therefore, they don't present solutions. Suppose, then, that we accept these simple guidelines and now turn to the war on terror. Well, since we've agreed that facts matter, it matters that the war on terror was not declared by George W. Bush on 9/11, but by the Reagan administration 20 years earlier. They came into office declaring that their foreign policy would confront what the president called the evil scourge of terrorism, a plague spread by depraved opponents of civilization itself in a return to barbarism in the modern age. It's the Secretary of State. The campaign was directed against a particularly virulent form of the plague, state-directed international terrorism. The main focus of the war on terror was Central America and the Middle East, but it reached Southern Africa, Southeast Asia, and beyond. A second fact is that the war was declared and implemented by pretty much the same people who are conducting the redeclared war on terrorism. The civilian component of the redeclared war on terror is led by John Negroponte, who was appointed last year to supervise all counterterror operations. I'll return to some of his tasks during the first phase of the war. The military component of the redeclared war on terror is led by Donald Rumsfeld. During the first phase of the war on terror, Rumsfeld was President Reagan's special representative to the Middle East, and there his main task was to establish close relations with Saddam Hussein so that the United States could provide him with large-scale aid, including means to develop weapons of mass destruction, all of this continuing long after the huge atrocities against the Kurds and after the end of the war with Iran. The official purpose of the continuing aid was not concealed. It was, as President Bush number one put it, it was Washington's responsibility to aid American exporters, and also, I'm quoting now, the strikingly unanimous view of Washington and its allies, Britain and Saudi Arabia, that whatever the sins of the Iraqi leader, he offered the West and the region a better hope for his country's stability than did those who have suffered his repression.